Praise the Lord, everybody. This is a wonderful day that the Lord has made. Thank God that He keeps me. He lifts me up when I'm down. And thank God that He comforts me when I don't know what to do. I thank God that He is everything that I need when I need it. And I thank the Lord for His Son, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Today, and I thank God for the Spirit. Today, we're going to get into a little bit of this new subject, grow us in the body of Christ. I'm going to start maybe from a place that may not seem like it's geared toward the body of Christ, but I think we need some background to help us understand some things that we will get into. So we'll begin to look at that today. God's plan, and we know that His plan was in place before the foundation of the world. We know that Jesus was involved in that plan. So we want to start there because that's where it started. Between God and Jesus and God's plan and carrying out God's plan for mankind, it tells us, or it will tell us, about who God is and who Jesus is, which has a lot to do with the body of Christ. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it just says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them," mankind, "have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Just in that statement, but when you think about that, we are like God in His image and likeness, and we also are like God, having a portion of dominion over the creation that God made. So we see the qualities that the likeness, the image, and being over something. And that's God in essence. He is over all things. We have to understand that God's plan was not a fluid plan, a plan that would change. We know God's plan will be carried out from what He said, what He imagined in His mind, and when He set that plan in action. It was not a fluid plan. And a fluid plan is that which is not fixed. It says it's likely to change often and repeatedly change and unexpected change. That's not the way God plans. And when God put this plan in place for mankind, it was specific, and it was going to accomplish that which He thought. Let's go to the book of Isaiah in chapter 46, and reading verse 9 and 10. Isaiah describes some things about God. God is the kind of God that can start at the end of a thing before He begins it. So, for every person, for everything, God has decided the end in His mind, where He wanted things to end up before He began what He began. He put His plan in place. He thought about everything that was needed, starting from the end back to the beginning. He says this also in this. He says, from ancient times, the things which are not yet done. So from things of old that God purposed in his mind to the things that have not quite yet been done. And we know God's record because we have his word. So we know just how much has been done, and we know what has not been done yet. These bodies have not been changed. Jesus has not come back on a cloud. We know that that all the saints have not met him in the air. So certain things that God spoke before the beginning began, how he would get a people who would believe in Jesus Christ on the cloud into heaven, that he would have an eternal relationship with his creation. And then he went back and he started everything from ancient times. And he says this. He said that my counsel shall stand. What does that mean? It will endure. It shall be proven. It will be validated. God's plan, what he thought, what he determined to put in place and set forth before the beginning began, looking at the end of that thing, and then put it in place, he says, it will endure. It will stand. It will be proven. It will be validated. He says also, it will do all my pleasure. That's simply saying God has done this because it pleased him. We are here on this earth, in this place. We are here because it pleased God for us to be here, as well as everybody out there. God does not do anything that's not perfect. Man can try to mess up God's plan, but God's plan shall endure, shall be proven, shall be validated. It says it will stand. However, man's plans are on the fluid side. We can make plans, but our problem is we can't see what's in front of us. So what's in front of us will dictate how well your plan that you thought of will be enacted. Proverbs chapter 19. We don't know what the future holds and how the future will affect our plan. You might say, I'm going to invest in the stock market, and this stock is on the rise, and by the time I get old, it will mature so, and I'll be a wealthy man. And then the stock crashes. The company folds. That's a fluid plan. Proverbs 19 and 21. It says there are many what? Devices. That is a Hebrew word. Ma'ash Abba. And what that word means, devices, the Hebrew word meaning thoughts or plans or purpose or inventions. Okay, so there are many thoughts or plans or inventions in a man's mind. Then, or should I say in a man's heart, which is his mind. But then it says, nevertheless, what you think, nevertheless, the Lord, the counsel of the Lord shall do what? Shall stand. Now we're looking at the body of Christ, and we're looking at being Christ-like. So we must understand our agenda does not mean anything with God unless it lines itself up with his plan. But when you talk about God's counsel, you're talking about his purpose, his advice, his counsel. It's the root word of plan or prudence. We talked about how God providentially cares for his people by putting things in place in time for us that when we need it, when we need a breakthrough, when we need a move of God, when we need a healing, when we need financial, something financial, God has put those things in place. So when you think of his counsel, that's what it is. It's his counsel, God's counsel. And we, as a people who want to be Christ-like, who want to reflect the body of Christ, be like Christ, we have to understand who God is and how he operates and realize that we don't operate like that. We have to do one thing, and that is surrender our will. And when we learn more about God's plan for mankind and what he did, we will understand God better. We will see his love better. And we will know, and it will have an effect on what we do as a people of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm trying to establish a few things about God and a few things about Jesus that you can call a foundation. And if we can get a strong foundation on who God is and why did he do what he did? Everything that he did was for his own pleasure. The garden went like it was, but it was not out of God's plan. Because God, back in Genesis, knew that Jesus would eventually come. Even in Genesis. So he tells us that, no, this was not a flaw in my plan. God doesn't do anything that has flaw. We serve a perfect God. And there's nothing that happened that was not according to God's plan. Chapter 1, starting in verse 16 through verse 25.
Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily have foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you."
That's a wonderful scripture. In verse 16, it says this, and if we want to be Christ-like, we have to emulate this. It says this, simple. Be ye, what? Holy. Why? God says, "For I am holy." He made us and called us, created us, for the sole purpose that we would be like him, his likeness, his image, having dominion over what God put us responsible for. But he wants us to do it in the way and the character that he is. Be ye holy is a Christ-like character. We saw Jesus Christ's example when he came to the earth, that he did not sin at all, not one, not what you see on TV, how they try to make Jesus into having relationships and all of that. No, the Bible tells us that he did not sin. He gave us the example of being holy before his Father God in a fleshly body with desires like we have, yet he did not sin. He says, be like that. If we want to be Christ-like, we have to be like Christ. It calls us to be something that these bodies, because of sin, when sin came in, these bodies are subject to it. We were born into it. But he brings us out of it. We can't stop doing what we used to do until he brings us out. And since he brought us out, we have the ability to walk in holiness, in his righteousness. Be ye holy. And he says this, in God's plan was that he would have a sacrifice for us. In verse 18, it says, not redeemed with what? Corruptible things. I am not going to bring you out with something that will not last. What I bring you out with has an eternal character to it, not corruptible. We were purchased back by something that will stand the test of time, not something that would wither away, fade away, incorruptible. Verse 19 says what? Incorruptible thing that he's talking about is the blood of his very own son, which he decided that he was going to shed on Calvary's cross for us, for the remission of our sin. All a part of God's plan that he put in place before the world began. Christ's blood is incorruptible. We can be redeemed by his very own blood. God's son, very own blood, is what is incorruptible. And then his spirit is what helps us walk in holiness. We were blood brought. Think about that. His blood purchased us back to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says we were bought with a price. It tells me Jesus came to die. Also tells me he was willing to come to die. Bought with a price. And then it says, therefore glorify God. Why? When we understand what transpired on the cross, when we see what God did to have a relationship with us, the price that was paid to redeem us back with the very own blood of his son. If you know that, it says, therefore glorify God. When we glorify God, that's another quality that is Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 7 and 23. So, we can no longer serve man. When we have been purchased, someone owns us. We don't own ourselves anymore. And we have to walk differently than we did before we came into the knowledge of who Jesus is. I don't want to say was, because he is. So this corruptible thing is not something that you find with God. There's only one Redeemer. That's God's Son. Ephesians chapter 1 and 7. Redemption through his blood. Purchased back. Romans 8, 3 and 4. This redeemable blood that Jesus shed. There was a law. This law could not save someone. It could cover your sins annually with an atonement, but it could not save you with the kind of salvation that's talking about here. God had promised he would save his people, what? From their sins. Now here, it talks about the law, but the law was weak. Same, people knew the law, but they still what? Sinned because of what? This flesh. Their flesh wasn't addressed in the Old Testament to a certain degree. Those who believed had God's Spirit. Most of the children of Israel did not, because they wandered around as a stiff-necked people for 40 years and would not turn. That tells me they didn't walk around for 40 years in the Spirit. There were some who had the Spirit. There were some who wanted to follow God. But the majority of the people, their carcasses laid in the wilderness. And they did not enter into God's rest because of unbelief. So this law was weak. And God knew that the law would be what? Weak. But because the law was weak, it created an opportunity for Gentiles. We would not have a chance if the law was strong. But he did not just want the people he chose initially, he wanted mankind. So he sent his own son. We have to look at how we got to where we are, that we could be more Christ-like, looking at the things that God did for us.